You will turn your Bible to John chapter 17. We're a little bit behind this morning. We had to take care of some business in the church this morning for our Bible conference upcoming, September the 13th and 14th. We do have our seven speakers already confirmed. Pray that the Lord will allow them all seven to be here. Sometimes some of them have to drop out for various reasons. But we do pray that the Lord will continue to bless those men and their families and all others as they come. So we're looking forward to that. In John chapter 17, this is a very beautiful passage of scripture in chapter 17 because this is actually the Lord's Prayer. People talk about Matthew over there, Luke, about when the Lord gave us a model prayer, that's the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's fine if you don't look at it that way, but when you talk about the Lord actually praying, which he didn't do over there, here he's actually praying. And what makes me so happy is he prayed for me. He prayed for all those that's going to believe and be children of God. He prayed for them right here in the chapter. But we want to look at a different thought this morning in here, and we'll start at verse 11. He says, "And now I am no more in the world," because he's leaving the world, "but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." He's asking God the Father to keep us in truth, keep us in honor and glory of our Father. But, you know, what amazes me is we pray sometimes, and when we pray, We pray for things we just think of, don't we? But Jesus, when he prays, he actually prayed knowing what the Father was going to do. He goes on to say that that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, and now come I to thee, in these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy in themselves. Moving on, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now listen here closely, 17:18. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Lord's talking about Matthew 18, in 20, I believe it is, where he gave the Great Commission to the church and sent us into the world to preach the gospel. So we read this, and we're going to look this morning at what is God's truth. Well, to be honest with you and perfectly clear, this is God's truth. Just as it is written. Not what I say is truth, not what any other person says is truth, but what God says is truth. Jesus is the one who spake absolute, infallible truth to us when he was here on this earth. He never spoke anything that was not absolute truth. And anything that's in here in your red letter Bible is supposed to be the words of Jesus, and most likely are all Jesus' words, and are nothing but absolute truth along with everything else, because everything in this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit to put in. Writers put things in this book, they had no idea what they were actually writing. So we want to look at that truth and our understanding of that truth. Jesus prayed that the Father would keep us in truth, didn't he? So in this world of Christianity, that is the whole umbrella of them that call themselves Christian, almost no one believes the same. We don't. You look at different denominations, I'll get on with it. But anyway, but all call their belief the Bible or biblical truth, don't they? Every one of them. Even Paul, when he was an Israelite and hated Jesus and hated the church and persecuted the church as Saul of Tarsus, he thought he believed the truth, didn't he? And he learned that by Jesus' visit with him on the way to Damascus that he was wrong. And therefore, the Lord saved him and he started believing the truth. However, no matter how many different denominations they are, no matter how many different branches of each denomination that exist, and they are a lot, aren't they? Even the people that call themselves Baptists, there are probably 100 different branches of it. There's only one biblical truth. Please excuse me, but there is only one absolute biblical truth. Do I believe in 100%? No. I am not 100% absolute truth. I am not deity. I am a man that has learned what the Holy Spirit has taught me. And he has taught me the entire Bible. The Bible is God's truth. Not how we see it as truth. Not what we think. Not as we believe it as truth. But as God wrote it as truth. We can believe anything. We can take any scripture and make it say anything we want to. That don't make it truth, does it? The truth is the way God wrote it. If a human soul cannot accept the scriptures as written, in the context and believe it in that context, then they will fail to understand most, if not all, of the word of the truth of God's word. Go to 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, and verse 15, when the Lord said here, listen, Lord, here closely, he commands that we study to show thyself approved unto God. Listen, a workman, not a lazy person, not someone that just accepts what people say, but a person that actually studies the Word of God and labors at that study, that needeth not be ashamed. If we study, if we learn, if we pray, if the Holy Spirit teaches us, we will never be ashamed of what God tells us. Rightly dividing the word of truth, because we have studied to show ourselves approved unto God, believing what God has said, not what fits my thinking, not what fits my imagination of growing up, not what fits what other people are telling me, not what fits our Baptist doctrine, not what fits some profession of faith, but what comes directly from the Word of God. People look at the Word and they say, well, with all due respect to that, I just can't believe that. Well, you have a problem. Hello, Houston. We have a problem. One writer said, better rendered rightly laying out the Word of truth. And he goes on to say, it seems most correct to regard it as a metaphor for laying out a road. Building a road, a foundation of a road, rightly being able to divide the word of truth into what is absolute truth. Another writer said, rightly dividing the word of truth, to manage rightly, to treat truthfully without falsifying. See, when someone reads the scripture, they say, well, that's not exactly true. Well, it is true if it's in context. The thing is, see, it has to be in context with the rest of the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't, I've read of people that believe that James believed one way and Paul believed another way. and they just didn't agree. Well, that's stupid and asinine, because the Holy Spirit is the writer of the Word of God. But don't tell me that James wrote one thing and Paul wrote another one. You have to accept both and be able to figure out what both are talking about. So it is to study ourselves or oneself. Each believer is responsible to be able to rightly divide the word of truth without error. This is important, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus prayed for the Father to teach and keep us in truth. And Jesus also said, let them sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 17 of John 17, which we just read. The word sanctify means to make them to be holy or to purify them in your truth, Lord. The word must separate Christians from the world. This book, if you believe it honestly, will separate you from the world. If it is truly doing what Jesus prayed here, the world must see in us as Christians, as Pilate saw in Jesus in John chapter 18, verse 38, when Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in this man. Jesus was true at all, he said. I'm sorry, I had that over there. So the world does not need for us to prove truth unto them. They do not need to find fault in us or our belief, because we are not proving to the world, because we cannot change minds and thoughts of the people of the world to believe the truth. You say, well, if we don't do it, who does it? God does it. The Holy Spirit does it. We don't just learn truth, we are taught truth. This is the reason Jesus prayed that he would teach us the truth. So let's get to our first point so we can finish this. First, back to John 17. First point is this: the truth is knowing and understanding Jesus. The truth is knowing and understanding Jesus. Jesus said in our text scriptures in verse 8, John 17, he says, for I have given unto them the word which thou givest me, Jesus said. And they have received them. That means they have believed them. They have accepted them. And have known surely that I come from thee. Because they believe Jesus, they know that he come from God. And they have believed that thou didst send me. What a blessing. It's good when people understand who they're talking. We saw this in John 14. But people didn't understand that Paul really come from God. They thought he came from a God that was actually just a God that come in the flesh. They had the idea right, because God did come in the flesh in Jesus, but not their God, not the pagan God. They did not. Go to John 1, if you will. You cannot know biblical truth if you do not know Jesus. It starts right there. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? You will never believe the Word of God. You say, well, so other lost people in my life, I've seen them understand certain doctrines of the Bible. But I don't care. You can teach anybody that 2 + 2 = 6, can't you? If I sit here and taught you enough, and you were under my tutelage as a math teacher, and I kept telling you 2 + 2 = 6, 2 + 2 = 6, 2 + 2 = 6, eventually someone asks you what 2 + 2 is, you're going to say 6. And the reason you're going to say 6 is because you're going to say, well, my teacher, my instructor told me that's what it was. So, you know why so many preachers, I do it myself sometimes, you know why so many preachers say things 3 times? because people better understand it the third time. I learned it that reason. Sometimes I do it. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And you might say, well, Pastor, we hear what you say. You may not always hear it. I want you to hear certain things. Understand them. The way it's being taught. And therefore, you say it three times. You repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. That way they fully hear and understand what you're teaching. So you can teach a dog to shake hands, right? You can teach the dog to sit up. You can teach the dog to sit down. Well, you can teach anybody Bible doctrine. People are not so ignorant they cannot learn Bible doctrine, but they have no spiritual heart to understand it. They have no understanding in their heart because their spirit is dead, and that's where we learn these things. So if later someone comes along and they teach them something different, they're automatically going to say, oh, I was taught wrong. Now I believe something different. It's our job as Christians to understand the truth and to learn the truth. He says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? And the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. So God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God. We beheld His glory. But listen to the last part here. It says, full of grace and truth. Where truth is, the hate of the world is in opposition to that truth. Why do you think Jesus Christ was hated all of His life? From the time He was born, if you go back and learn all the birth and all the Christmas messages and things where they teach about Jesus' birth, most of them don't know what they're teaching, but when they try to teach about Jesus' birth, they will go and talk to you about the wise men, and then they'll go back and tell you how you had to be hid, how you had to be moved from a child, because the world actually did know that this was the Son of God. They didn't believe it, they didn't want to believe it, but they knew, otherwise they wouldn't be trying to kill him, would they? So they moved him around. As he grew up, he was hated. As he got older, he was hated. As he started his ministry, he was hated. As he built his church, he was hated. As he was arrested, he was hated. And as he was tried, he was hated. And as they shouted to release a murderer, to persecute, and to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ, he was hated. Pilate said himself, I find no fault in this. But they crucified him anyway, didn't they? For the sake of time, let's move down to our second point. The Holy Spirit will teach us in truth. See, we don't just learn truth. You're not an intelligent person in the Bible. You may be an intelligent person in this world. You may be an Einstein. I may look like a fifth grade education man, but it really I have 10. I may look like I graduated fifth, and I'll probably on that level, but you may have your PhD. That doesn't make me any biblically dumber than you are. Not only can we teach a dog to sit down, shake hands, and to fetch, God can teach any person He wants to be the greatest preacher in the world. Brother Forrest Keener, who had a high school education, no formal education. When he came to our church in Sulphur Springs and preached for us a Bible conference, I believe it was, he covered that Bible conference. I believe that's what it was for. But anyway, he preached for us, not a Bible conference, but a Bible meeting. When he came and they call them Bible meetings. Now, I don't like the Bible meetings either. But anyway, when he came to preach our Bible meeting for 4 or 5 days, whatever it was, I sat down and talked to him and I was amazed at how smart he was. You know, he wrote a lot of books, he wrote a lot of tracts, he preached a lot of places, he'd done a lot of things. I didn't agree with him 100%, but he was a good man, a good preacher, and fascinating in his knowledge of the Word of God with a simple high school education. Near more than most men with PhDs. You can have 5 PhDs. I don't know how many you can get, but some people have more than one, I assume. But anyway, you can have all you want, and he would still be smarter than you are. I'm smarter than most people with PhDs in the Bible. for they understand no truth. We are gauged as Christians on the truth we believe, not the truth of the Baptist, not the truth of some manual or some confession of faith, but the truth of the Bible, which is Baptist doctrine, isn't it? People just cringe when we say that, but it is. I never wondered. T.P. Simmons is the only book I ever studied for Baptist doctrine. And I disagree with him on a couple of things. Brother Hammond taught me most of what I do know. And he and I disagreed on things. See, we never always all agree. Because we're all searching for the truth. And that's the way I searched all my adult life in the ministry. So anyway, that's what we do. Hey, let's go to John 16. See, the Holy Spirit teaches us, if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, we're not going there, we studied it. 1:11, you'll find out that God gives us spiritual gifts to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one that teaches us our doctrine. We ought not be so harsh with people that disagree with us. We shouldn't be. Because if God hasn't taught it to you, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to understand it. Because God is not teaching it to you. Look at verse 13 in John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into a little truth, a some truth, a lot of truth, not all truth. If you're going to believe truth, the Holy Spirit's going to teach it to you. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you all things to come. It's all about the Father, isn't it? Whatever God has ordained for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all of us, whatever God has ordained for us to understand and believe is what we will understand and believe. But we never need to stop searching the scriptures, working in them, as God told us, to learn the truth. Jesus prayed for us that we would, one, learn the truth and keep the truth. And how did he pray that we would do both those things? He prayed that God keep us in those things, didn't he? That God would show us the truth and keep us in the truth. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. So, our learning and understanding of truth is not possible without the Holy Spirit guiding us in this truth. With this learning. You don't just study your scriptures and learn it. This is the reason it's essential. If you're going to study the Word of God, you pray to God for the Holy Spirit to lead you in that truth. See, not everybody that believes in Jesus is saved. Did you know that? No, you have to believe in Jesus as a Savior. You have to trust Him for your salvation. I can cause anyone to believe in Jesus. I say, believe in Jesus. Come on. Believe in Jesus. Come on. Go through this hell house. Be scared. Get the hell out of you. When he comes right out, you say, believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus. And finally he'll say, I believe in Jesus. I'm praying this simple prayer. It's your choice. Make your decision for Christ. Come on, make it. Come on, make it. Come on, make that decision for Christ. Come on. You see where I'm going? It's over and over and over every Sunday. The same message, the same cry, the same trying to convince people, but that's not the way people are saved. People are saved by the power of the Holy Spirit when He quickens their spirit and calls them to believe in Jesus. And only then can they start their life spiritually understanding the truth of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit teaches. So trust the Holy Spirit, folks. Don't trust me. Don't trust any of these seven men coming for a conference. Don't trust anybody else. You trust the Word of God. If you need help, I'll help you. If you need help, Larry or Justin or medic or someone will help you. Frank, I don't leave Frank out. Ronnie, if I leave somebody out there, they're going to be done. We'll help you. We'll help you along. We'll help you understand it, but we can't. We're not the Holy Spirit. We can only help you. He can call you to believe the truth. So God warned us to walk in the truth in this world. Once we learn the truth, we are responsible. You know, it's a bigger sin if we understand and believe the truth and disobey the truth than it is for someone that doesn't know the truth. Yeah, God actually said that. It's a harsher sin for me because God's Holy Spirit has taught me the truth and I have ignored the truth. When my judgment day comes, I will be judged more harshly, lose more rewards and crowns because I understood the truth, the Holy Spirit taught me the truth, and I just got ashamed of it. People do get ashamed of the Word of God, right? But then, like the fellow whispered to me and Brother Hammond went down, y'all still gracious? Yeah, we still believe in grace, yeah. Why would we not? I'm not ashamed of sovereign God, are you? No. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed of church. I'm not ashamed of any of the doctrines, I believe. And Ephesians 5, verse 8, I don't think I read this yet. Verse 8 and 9 says, for we were sometimes in darkness. That's what we're lost. We were in darkness. Darkness, because you have a dead spirit. You don't understand. You don't spiritually discern the Word of God. But now, you are in light of the Lord. Lord's light, isn't he? He's your light, isn't he? And walk as children of light. Listen. This is the explanation of what the Lord just said. For the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's everything God's going to give you through the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you goodness, righteousness, and truth. God's not going to give you a false doctrine. He's not going to lead you in a false way. God's not going to lead you into sin. God's not going to cause you to do this sin. God's not going to cause you to be disobedient. You say, well, the Lord makes some church members and not others. That's disobedience in others. And Lord, wait a minute. The Lord didn't make them that way. God's not responsible for those that he hasn't put in church to be in church. He was gracious unto us. Just like the Lord's not responsible for the lost just because he saved some and not all. God didn't make them lost. God didn't make them what they are in this world. We are without excuse as church members, as saved people not in church, as saved people that don't know any truth, to lost people. We have to take our responsibility and thank God for any grace he gives us. Our understanding of God's word is God's grace, isn't it? Just like our church membership is the grace of God to us. He built the church, right? 1 Corinthians 12. He built the church. He put the members in as he chooses to have them. Well, same thing right here. The fruit of the Spirit, that is the gifts of God, are all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Psalms 37, if you will. I got about 5 minutes. I'm almost done. Third, God ordained us to walk in this truth. And this is why we are led to truth by the Holy Spirit. God ordained everything in our life. Everything you are as a Christian was ordained of God. Say, well, I don't know Texas, pray to God. What James says, Jason, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. If you lack knowledge, ask of God. If you lack the stamina to work for the Lord, ask of God. If you don't go to church, ask of God. If you're not saved, then pray to God that He saved you. You can't ask anything of God. God's not going to hear a dead person. People don't understand the word dead. But anyway, moving on, in Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We who are truly believers, and we who are truly believers in truth, are blessed of God. We need to count our many blessings, name them one by one, what we know. Because unless the Holy Spirit teaches us and leads us, we will fail. Truth, the truth, doesn't come naturally. He's just a natural preacher. No, he's not naturally anything lost. He's saved by grace. He's warned by grace. He is what he is by grace. He's not anything but a sinner saved by grace, taught by grace, and leading by grace. I am what I remember, Apostle Paul, one of the greatest New Testament men of all time. That's my words. I'm sorry. I just look at him that way. Just like I look at Spurgeon as one of the greatest preachers. It's not if he made that. You can disagree all you want. That's just the way I see things. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace was given, and you know what Paul goes on to say? It wasn't wasted. In other words, God gave me grace, I used it. God's given us grace. Let's work. Let's be workers of the Word of God to learn the truth of God's Word. John chapter 5. I'm going to skip down to our last scripture. It's just like salvation. God said back in 1 John 5, I'm not going there. Go ahead and turn to John 5. The book of John, chapter 5. He said that he that believes on the Son of God has witnessed himself. He that believes not, may God lie. Why? Because God said Jesus Christ saved sinners. God said Jesus is the Savior. That's God's record. That's the truth of God's word. And everybody who says it isn't, well, you Baptists, y'all have it wrong. No, telling us that's like telling us that God is wrong. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father, in verse 37, 30, 39, he says, and the Father that has sent me, has borne witness of me, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. You don't know who the Father is. You've never seen him. We just know what we read of him, haven't we? And raise your hand if you've ever seen the Father. That's what I thought. See, we don't have statues and symbols that we use. We go by reality. We are reality. That's probably not a word. Praise for laughing at it. That's okay. How are you looking at it? But anyway, we're reality. We haven't seen him at any time. We don't know his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, the Lord says. See, I use this scripture a lot right here. But you got to go back to the first scripture there to understand what Jesus is talking about. You don't believe. He says, search the scriptures, search the scriptures, search them. Don't listen to brother so-and-so. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't read Twitter. You know, the best thing to do is stay away from social media. My wife keeps getting on me. She's threatening to hang me out in the backyard because I get too political on Facebook. She said, they're going to come for us. And I kind of laughed and looked at her and laughed. I said, you're going to give that to me. And I thought, well, you might be right, sir. I don't say anything political. Try not to anyway. It's hard to break old habits, you know what I mean? But anyway, Lord says here to search the scriptures. Right? For in them, you think you have eternal life, than they or they which testify me. What's Jesus actually saying here? Search the scripture, and if you think you have eternal life, you better believe in me, because that's where eternal life is. It's in me. It's not in your work, not in your baptism, not in your church membership, not in anything you've ever done, because salvation is by grace through faith, not of yourself. It, salvation, is a gift of God. Not of works, that means any effort on man's part at all. Let's all stand, but the question's going to come. Please, number 212, one verse of it. And the reason come, you come when Brother Justin comes to listen to this song.